Chapter 8, Step 6, Tenacious Endurance. The Winology journey has taken us into many components comprising the evolution of winning. A science? An art form? A renewed state of mind? And an identity, just to name a few. Now, let's explore what Winology is not. Winology is not a feeling. Sure, winning feels good. In fact, it feels great. But while we love the feeling, winning cannot be obtained simply on feelings or emotions. Winning, as discussed in Step 3, is a decision. Not only must you choose to do whatever it takes to win, legally, ethically, and morally, you must also dedicate yourself to the essential sixth step of Winology to continue your pursuit of winning. You must develop tenacious endurance. All the way. 1968, Olympic Stadium, Mexico City. The crowd stood and roared with excitement as the 1968 Olympic men's marathon came to a close. Shortly after the race was completed, Mamo Wolde from Ethiopia, Kenji Kimihara from Japan, and New Zealand's Mike Ryan took the gold, silver, and bronze medal stands, respectively. But they weren't the only winners that day. In fact, there was another champion, an unsung hero, who might have been an even greater champion in his own right. Tanzanian John Stephen Akwari. Akwari fought seemingly insurmountable obstacles the entire race. Not long after the starting gun fired, he began to experience severe cramps due to the high altitude in which he had never trained. About halfway through the race, as runners began to jockey for position, Akwari was knocked hard to the ground, dislocating his knee and injuring his shoulder on the hard surface. Still, he continued. Over an hour after three men stood on the winners' podiums, their hearts beating with national pride as they watched their flags being raised, another champion entered the practically empty stadium. There were no cameras, no fanfare, and no roar of the crowd. The only thing left was one man's inward drive. Battered and torn, John Stephen Akwari stumbled around the Olympic Stadium track, now lit by lights as the sun had long set. 25 miles completed, left only 1 mile to go. 4 laps around the stadium's track. 1 lap, 2 laps, 3 laps, and then the fourth and final lap. Crossing the finish line, Akwari was met by a small group of reporters who had received word of his heroism. When asked why he did it, the champion, who no one saw, said these riveting words, "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start this race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish this race." And finish he did. Akwari endured to the end, the mark of a true winologist. Keep your cool. Tenacious endurance spans the range of human existence. Take the animal kingdom as an example. In particular, the camel. Able to traverse thousands of miles while storing water in its humps, the camel can survive 6 to 7 months, depending on the time of year, without drinking a drop of water. Most of us learned of the camel's amazing internal hydration system in grade school. But there's a powerful, yet lesser-known, physiological phenomenon found in our humpback friends. Not only is the camel a walking oasis, it functions as a portable central air conditioning unit as well, fluctuating its internal core temperature by up to 12 degrees Fahrenheit. Essentially, when it's hot outside, the camel can reduce the heat inside its own body. But that's not all. The camel's brain is an amazing work of science as well. While the camel's body is cooling down, its brain has the ability to operate a separate internal cooling system. This enables the camel's brain to remain cooler than its core temperature. In doing so, it can continue to function at the highest levels of efficiency, even in the most extreme climate environments. When it's all said and done, you could reasonably deduct that one of the ways camels demonstrate tenacious endurance is by keeping a cool head. Now, let's take camelology and break it down and apply it to winology. How many times have you fallen victim to fatigue simply due to your inability to keep a cool head? Everybody has. When things begin to heat up on the outside, we tend to allow our external surroundings to negatively affect us inside. Our emotions begin to boil, causing us to lose control. In other words, we get hot-headed. We all know a hothead, someone who is the first to blow their top and lose their cool, sometimes over minuscule issues. However, dealing with pressure and enduring hard times isn't just about your external conditioning. It also encompasses your internal conditioning. The truth is, you need to learn to keep a cool head even in the midst of volatile situations. Baseball legend Lou Gehrig said, "The ball player who loses his head, who can't keep his cool, is worse than no ball player at all." Keep your cool. Stay in the game. You've got a lot more winning ahead. Enduring through hard times is tough. However, there are a number of tools which can help you stay cool, even in the midst of the battle. Prayer, meditation, positive internal dialogue, deep breathing techniques are just a few. I do all of the above. Whatever it takes for you to keep a cool head in a heated situation, do it. Remember, your positive conviction and true new positive realities learned in step two, when faced with circumstances that challenge your perception and threaten to turn positivity into negativity, pull out your journal and start reading your new true positive declarations. It might sound crazy, but believe me, it works. By meditating on those positive declarations, you literally reprogram your brain and greatly reduce the power of current negative circumstances. With a cool head, you can better navigate through negative situations to a positive solution. Like many other Winology steps, tenacious endurance isn't easy to master. One of the secrets, however, is learning to control your emotions and feelings and continuing to do the right things for the right reasons. When you do, you can make it through the longest of seasons in the hottest of conditions without one drink of water, so to speak. Winologists must learn how to hold it together from the inside out. Whether it's sinking the tricky 4-foot putt to win lunch, negotiating with a stubborn 3-year-old at the dinner table, selecting the correct phrase to calm a frustrated, venting spouse, or overcoming an objection to close the biggest deal of your career, your ability to be patient, calm, and poised will set you up to win. What winners never do. No one arrives at the highest political offices in the land without tenacious endurance. One of Britain's greatest statesmen and former Prime Minister of the UK, Sir Winston Churchill, knew firsthand this voyage. In one of his most famous speeches, he gave the world his success secret when he said, "Never, never, never, never give up." Sir Winston was a master of tenacious endurance. He inspired nations with other noble statements such as, "If you're going through hell, keep going," and "Success is the ability to go from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm." So what do winners never do? It's simple. They never, ever give up. Contrary to popular belief, winners don't always win. Winners suffer losses and setbacks just like everyone else in life. The difference is, winners never quit. If you don't believe me, then look at a few winners who were at one time in their life considered miserable losers. Henry Ford. Known around the world as the grandfather of the automobile industry, Ford failed numerous times on his way to the top of his field. His first venture to build a motor car dissolved after only a year and a half, mainly due to stockholder confidence, or lack thereof. Ford rallied enough money to start again, only to have his second venture fold as well. Despite the fact that almost the entire motor industry had lost faith in him, Ford never quit. And the rest is history. Walt Disney. One of the world's greatest film and entertainment icons didn't start out that way. Walt Disney was fired from his first job at the Kansas Star newspaper because he lacked creativity. His first business, Laugh-O-Gram, launched in 1922, which produced cartoons and short advertising films. Less than 18 months after inception, Disney filed for bankruptcy. Not to be denied, Walt Disney packed up and fled the Midwest to Hollywood, California, where he would start the Walt Disney Company. As of May 2015, Disney's company employs 180,000 worldwide and is valued by Forbes as the 11th most valuable brand at $179.5 billion. Richard Branson. Billionaire Richard Branson's name is attached to several multi-million dollar brands, including Virgin Air, Virgin Atlantic, Virgin Music, and Virgin Active. However, this dyslexic 16-year-old high school dropout didn't start on top. On his last day at school, Richard's headmaster told him he would either end up in prison or a millionaire. Richard chose the latter. Based out of a church and using his floundering student magazine, The Student, to advertise, young Richard started selling music records. Richard chose the name Virgin for his record business because that's what he was, a virgin in business. Branson's mail order business exploded to the point where he eventually opened his first store, Virgin Records, on Oxford Street in London. Today, Branson, worth $5.1 billion, is potentially Britain's highest profile billionaire and considered one of the wealthiest men in the world. J.K. Rowling. It's far too long for a children's book, and children's books never make money, were the comments heard all too often by author J.K. Rowling, as publisher after publisher refused her manuscript. Still, the divorced mom, living on welfare, pursued her dream of having her series published and sold. Finally, her tenacity paid off. The Harry Potter series has sold over 400 million copies, making it one of the most successful and lucrative book and film series of all time. Somebody was wrong. This children's book made Rowling and her publisher a fortune. History is full of stories just like these. Steve Jobs was once fired from Apple, the company he would eventually lead into world-class renown. Donald Trump also struggled on numerous occasions before making billions in commercial real estate. Bill Gates, Oprah Winfrey, Wayne Huizenga, H.J. Hines, Milton Hershey, and many others all endured hardships and failure, yet they endured to find success and untold riches. How did they do it? They never quit. Why? I'll tell you why. Because quitting is the number one way to guarantee a loss. The winning difference. John Wooden, one of the most revered coaches in NCAA history, leading his UCLA Bruins basketball team to an unprecedented record with 10 national championships in 12 years, gave these words of advice concerning success and failure. Success is never final. Failure is never fatal. It's courage that counts. The difference between failure and success? Courage, mixed with the tenacity to endure. Almost every child somewhere in their life has heard the famous saying, "Winners never quit and quitters never win." My parents not only instilled this in me at a young age, they actually went a few steps further. They took decisive action. In the Scribner house, there was a simple rule us kids had to follow. We were never allowed to quit at anything. I remember the day I decided to play the piano. My parents agreed, but with a small stipulation. Knowing the cost and time commitment involved in learning how to play the piano, they made me sign a one-year contract. I couldn't quit, at least for 1 year. Did I want to quit? Of course I did, probably about a month into the deal, but I had to stick it out all the way till the end. I'm glad I did. This value system instilled in me at a young age would last my entire life. During my fighting career, there were plenty of times where I felt mistreated, overlooked, or snubbed by a coach. But by then, my parents' ideology was so ingrained in me, quitting was never even an option in my mind. I had to endure and finish. In the end, while others came and went, came and went, came and went, I stuck it out. Was I always the best fighter in my group, school, or class? Probably not, but tenacious endurance became a basic instinct, differentiating me from my peers. I had a college friend, we'll call him Rob, who was undoubtedly one of the most talented individuals I had ever met. I mean, he was good at anything he touched: darts, pool, football, girls, interviews, presentations, you name it. Rob was amazing at it. Actually, he was so good at so many things, it was often infuriating. Oh, and it didn't hurt that he was 6'2", strikingly good looking, and carried a 1990s Alec Baldwin swagger. Rob had it going on. But Rob, although he won often, wasn't a true winner. Rob arrived at college 2 years before me. Every semester he loaded up on his schedule with as many classes as the school would allow, his parents footing the hefty price tag, of course. But without fail, every semester was a sad repeat of the previous one. You see, Rob never finished one class. Not one. He systematically dropped every single class by the assigned drop date, thus keeping his transcript free of any F's. But But Rob's logic was faulty. Though his transcript never showed a failing grade, it also lacked something else vitally important: any actual college credits. After 3 years of study, I had earned over 70 credit hours in my associate's degree, all while working full-time running my own business and paying cash for my own education. I received excellent marks and never dropped a single class, even though the pressure to do so was great at times. The tenacious endurance I learned from my parents paid off. At the time I transitioned, Rob still hadn't completed a single class in 5 years. Rob was good at everything, but great at nothing. What he possessed in talent, he lacked in character. Like many people, he was a great starter, but a horrible finisher. World-class winners are just the opposite. They refuse to be overwhelmed by what they can't do and focus on what they can do. And they finish what they start. Stick-to-itiveness. Little did I know, the invaluable lessons I had learned in my childhood would translate into my own parenting techniques. Today, I routinely hear myself telling my girls, much to their chagrin, I might add, "You're a Scrivener. Let's go. Finish strong. Scriveners never quit." As far as our girls are concerned, winning is in our blood and quitting is not an option. One day, while on a timed 1 mile run with my then 10-year-old daughter, Sydney, I was encouraging her with my patented "Scriveners never quit" speech. In her usual quick wit, she quipped at my chiding, "Dad, Scrivener means writer. It doesn't mean don't quit." Without hesitation, I responded, "Well, Sydney, if writers quit, then they'll never get anything written. Writers are finishers, so scriveners never quit. Now let's go." That day, she set a new personal record on the 1 mile run. You're welcome, Sydney. Legendary inventor and American inspiration Thomas Edison made this amazing declaration: "Many of life's failures are experienced by people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up." This statement is so painfully true. Edison attributed his greatest achievements to common sense, hard work, and a word he also invented: stick-to-itiveness. Now, it's one thing to invent a movie camera, incandescent lighting, and the first alkaline storage battery, just some of Edison's many inventions. But to create a word? That's greatness personified. Stick-to-itiveness is basically sticking it out when everything around you says to cut your losses and quit. In other words, it's tenacious endurance, the quality every winologist must adhere to and practice. Many years ago, my friend, Ryan, talked me into training for a full 26.2-mile marathon. The last 0.2 is the hardest part, by the way. The thought had never really entered my mind, mainly because I'm not into needless suffering. Also, my natural build is short and thick, not the Kenyan-esque frame of most long-distance runners. Nevertheless, I accepted the challenge. One of the motivating factors in believing I could actually accomplish this maddening challenge was because of another longtime friend, Ralph. Now, Ralph was shorter, fatter at the time, and much hairier than I was, none of which lend themselves to aerodynamic distance running. I'm embarrassed to admit that my own internal dialogue went something like this: "If this short, fat, hairy little monkey can do this, then what's my excuse? I'm a stinking world champion." Hey, inspiration is found wherever it's found. Mine just happened to be at the expense of my good friend. Ralph is still my friend to this day, and his number is still saved in my cell phone under his pseudonym, Hairy Little Monkey. Full of myself and my newfound obnoxious negative inspiration, I began my daily torture sessions. I mean, training sessions. Training for world championship titles was one thing, but nothing, I mean absolutely nothing, could have prepared me for what Ryan talked me into. Within the first week, I felt as though my lungs were going to burst, my legs were on fire, and my heart was going to explode at any given moment. Telling him, "Man, I'm just too busy right now to commit to this," sounded better and better each day. But no, I'm a Scrivener, and Scriveners, you can finish the line. I was determined, come hell or high water, to finish my training and run this marathon even if it killed me. Many times, it felt as though it would. From that day until now, I have trained and completed 3 26.2-mile marathons. In each race, one thing that blew me away was how many thousands of marathoners didn't have that Kenyan running physique I so greatly coveted. In fact, I was surrounded by big people, little people, physically challenged people who were totally unfazed by their physical limitations, and countless senior citizens, all winners in my book. Their greatest exercise wasn't training their bodies, it was exercising massive amounts of mental stick-to-itiveness as they prepared. And as they did, they never gave up. Humble pie. One of my biggest aha moments came at mile 22 during my most recent marathon held in Asheville, North Carolina. As I struggled to ascend a steep hill, my jaw literally dropped when I was overtaken by a sweet, cute little Asian grandmother who effortlessly ran past me. Of course, you better believe the internal trash talk quickly commenced. "Where do you think you're going, Grandma?" "Oh yeah, it's on now, sister. I'm coming for you. I'm going to fly past you so fast your head's going to spin." Just then, Grandma found another gear and left me in the dust. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't catch her. In fact, I tried so hard I injured my Achilles tendon, which required 4 months of rehab. The truth is, much like Bob Barker took it to Adam Sandler in the movie Happy Gilmore, Grandma kicked my butt. And I'll never forget it. But guess what? Even after being humiliated by a lady 20 to 30 years older than me and with my Achilles tendon feeling like it had disengaged from my body, I didn't quit. I finished that marathon, limping the last 3 miles. At the end of the race, I desperately needed two things: an ice pack for my leg and a big cold drink to wash down that huge slice of humble pie I'd just eaten. The good stuff. The lessons I've learned since the day Hairy Little Monkey inspired me to train and run a marathon have been countless. One of the greatest lessons has been that regardless of age, weight, height, or physical disability, the secret ingredient of success for those who finish a marathon, less than 1% of 1% of the world's population, is Winology Step 6, tenacious endurance. No matter what happens and no matter how much it hurts, you don't give up. It's the same with any great life achievement. Dr. Joseph Stoll, president of Cornerstone University and author of over 20 books, made a brilliant statement in his book, Fan the Flame. He said, "The Greeks had a race in their Olympic Games that was unique. The winner was not the runner who finished first. It was the runner who finished with his torch still lit. I want to run all the way with the flame of my torch still lit." If you're going to win at the highest level in life, this must be your mantra. I'm a winner, and winners never quit. Now, on to your Winology Step 6 assignments. Step 6, Tenacious Endurance Assignments. Take a completely honest survey of your life. Are you more naturally prone to quit or to press through and endure no matter what? Dig into the root behind your answer. What experiences in your life have either developed or failed to develop tenacious endurance in you? Express your story in your Winology journal. Record areas in your life in which circumstances or obstacles made or make you feel like throwing in the towel. Create an action plan to circumnavigate the problem and steer your path to finishing in world-class winning fashion. Share your findings with a couple of friends or trusted colleagues. Ask them for an outside point of view. Record your options and write out your plan. Build a success team. Who are the 4 or 5 people in your life that you can share your big dreams and goals with? Send them a message right now and ask them to meet for lunch or coffee within the next week. Share your personal goals and ask for feedback and wisdom. So here you are at the end of step 6, and guess what? You haven't quit. Of course you haven't. You're a winologist. You never quit. You're a finisher. You are well on your way to winning in every area of life. There are only 3 more winning qualities left to discover in your winology education. This is the phase where you see how world-class winning is exceedingly larger than you are.